From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A former Alaska State Coroner and Magistrate Judge died last month in Juneau. In his 84 years, Rick Shanko made quite an impression in and outside Alaska. KTOO spoke to his family and has more. Richard, or Rick Shanko, lived a lot of lives. Air Force serviceman, Alaska State Coroner, judo champion, and magistrate. That's his nephew, Daniel Shanko, singing during the viewing. Dozens of friends and family members, many who came from out of state, gathered for the last day of Novena, 9 days of prayer following a death in the Filipino Catholic tradition. Above Shanko's coffin is a slideshow he put together himself. Pictures of him in a Here Comes the Judge t-shirt with his family, military and state officials recognizing his achievements, students in white judo robes, and lots of fish. A slide of him standing with former Alaska Governor Bill Egan replaces one where Shanko holds a massive king crab. From what his family has to say, the pictures represent his life well. Shanko was a family man, and Daniel has many fond memories of his uncle, like bringing his own kids up to see Shanko and Juno when they were younger.
But he taught them how to play. I don't know if you know what the Hawaiian bikini is. It's an upright bass, but it's made out of a tub with a stick in the string. He make it sound like it was real. I mean, that's how good he was. So he would teach them. They would be laughing. He'd play spoons. I don't know if you ever saw anybody playing spoons. He was just so funny. We were just dying laughing in his living room.
Shanko wanted Daniel to follow in his footsteps.
He was willing to send me to law school to take after him, to be a judge.
But Shanko had an unconventional path to becoming a magistrate judge himself. He served in the Air Force, then as a Washington State Trooper and as coroner for Alaska. When Alaska Airlines Flight 1866 crashed near Juneau in 1971, he was the coroner assigned to the tragedy. It was the worst air disaster in United States history at the time, with 111 fatalities. He received a letter from FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover about his work on the crash investigation. In his memoir, Shanko wrote that he became a magistrate when a judicial conference drew all of Alaska's judges to Anchorage. Shanko was sworn in, so there would still be someone to preside over trials in Juneau during the conference. He worked as a magistrate judge and coroner concurrently and retired in 1990. Shanko was one of 13 kids in his family, born and raised in Molokai, Hawaii. Growing up, he was a sort of ringleader with his siblings, says his last surviving sibling, Rita Diorick.
And Rick would gather us up when we were like 10, 11 years old. We'd go and steal watermelon at the field. Rick was our leader. And he would take us up to the mountain behind where we live to pick up some mangoes. And then we'd see some wild pigs. And Rick would teach us how to climb the tree really fast to get away from the wild pigs. But we were only 10 years old. But he protected us. And we felt safe with him around.
Diorick said when he moved to Juneau in 1969, he convinced all his siblings to join him. For a while, much of Shanko's family lived in town, but eventually they moved back to Hawaii.
So one by one of us moved up to Juneau and worked, and we all retired from there.
Delma Shanko married Rick 15 years ago. He was friends with her sister and brother-in-law when Delma immigrated from the Philippines, and he would tease her about being shy. Delma said he missed having everyone around as he got older, but he kept records of all the good times in his life.
He's very good at keeping memories in stills, you know, in pictures. He would have, like, albums every year of what happened.
Diorick says her brother will be remembered for his work with young people in juvenile cases.
He loved to help people, and when he became a magistrate, he helped a lot of kids.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. After last month's destructive glacial outburst flood in Juneau, many people are still not able to return home. As those displaced families work to finance repairs and find new places to live, they're also still dealing with fear, shock, and grief over losing their homes. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
Oh, there goes.
One of the worst days of Molly Barnes' life
went viral.
We have dramatic video that shows a house as it collapses and falls.
As the flooded Mendenhall River swept away land under her condo building last month, videos of the destruction filled the internet.
I haven't even been able to watch it. I've tried twice, but it makes me physically sick. I'm definitely still affected by it.
A month later, the loss is still surreal and heartbreaking. Margaret Welberg is a Red Cross therapist who has taken on clients affected by Juneau's record glacial outburst flood. She said many people who experience a disaster feel grief that lasts for weeks, months, or even years.
We're hearing the guilt, the anger over the damage and loss. There's sometimes a real hopelessness, along with that overwhelming feeling.
As a volunteer counselor, Welberg has provided free therapy for numerous disasters, including Typhoon Murbach and the 2018 Anchorage earthquake. She said processing all those heavy emotions is often a neglected part of disaster recovery.
There's so much immediate need of physical response, and it's hard to take care of yourself.
The Red Cross offers free counseling services in the first few weeks after a disaster. For Barnes's downstairs neighbor, Chris Dorsey, those services were vital. She said she found it hard to function after the flood.
This mental health side of it is more severe than I think people are aware. You know, I'm having nightmares. I have this startle response to things.
And her home is unrecognizable. The yard where her family used to play with their dog. The cottonwood trees on the riverbank that Dorsey used to paint.
It's all gone. And it's just disorienting to be in this place where you don't recognize it.
Dorsey said her grief has come in waves. She's been able to regroup while staying with her mother in town. But there have been many sleepless nights over the last month.
Our homes are our safety and our comfort, especially when you're processing something that's so traumatic. You can have family members help and you can have friends help. But it's not the same as going to your own bed at night.
Dorsey said she was able to process some of that trauma during her initial sessions, but additional therapy through the Red Cross won't be an option. The organization wrapped up its disaster response in Juneau just over a week ago. For Dorsey, paying for sessions at a private practice is just too expensive. And finding mental health care in Juneau can be time-consuming, too. The demand for therapists is high, and the number of providers is limited. New patients often face long wait times for an appointment. Barnes, Dorsey's neighbor, said she's just now realizing the full mental and emotional toll of losing her home.
28 days later, it was the first day I didn't cry. It was the first day I felt like I was out of my brain fog.
Even before the flood, she found it difficult to prioritize her mental health.
I've always been so resilient, but right now, this is hard.
And still, she thinks it'll be too hard to find the extra time for therapy. Both she and her husband work full-time as teachers. The school year started just days after the flood. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 53 degrees and overcast. Tonight, it's looking like some rain is on the way, with a low of 51 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is 54 degrees, and it's looking like rain is on the forecast for the rest of the week as well. In Tlingit, the phrase for it's cloudy is kulagus, and the phrase for it's raining is siuch dak wustitan. This is KTOO.